As we have a few moments in hand before the next program, here is a warning to all shipping. Thank you. And for my next impression, a BBC announcer performing a rather distasteful duty.
Ladies and gentlemen, round the hall.
Hello and welcome to the show. First, a late sports result. Lions 3, Christians 0. And now an apology. In last week's programme, we said that Sir Armitage Bulstrode likes to go and feel the pigeons in Trafalgar Square. Well, this, of course, was a typographical error. It should have been feel the pigeons in Soho Square. None of which brings us to the results of last week's Complete the Title competition. Now, the first title we asked you to complete was The Girl with Green. Yes, the correct answer was eyes, though I must congratulate the very Reverend Ignatius Dangle for an inspired, if highly improbable, guess. Now, the other title was The Man with the Golden. And this produced such a volume of mail that I haven't been able to sort through it, particularly as my secretary is away suffering from shock. Smith, announce the next item.
Chant.
What?
Chant. You promised I could do my bit first. You promised. Granny's listening specially.
Oh, very well. Go on.
Thank you, sir. As I walk down the country lane, I hear the birds twittering. And look, here comes Rover the dog. Woof, woof. Hello, Rover. And yonder I spy Brock the badger. Oh, he's gone. Well, just as well, really. I can't do badgers. But see, here comes Nelly the cow. Moo. Moo.
Yeah, and look, coming towards us, John the producer, carrying your notice to quit.
Oh, well, perhaps I'd better announce the latest in our Movie Go Wrong series. A film adaptation to stir the heart, quicken the pulse, and agitate the peritoneum. Pornographic Productions, in association with British Mouse, proudly present... The Knights of Camelot.
This is the story of King Arthur, the man who told the sea to go back while he watched the spider burning the cakes.
They don't exactly go in for historical accuracy, do they?
We open with a panoramic view of King Arthur's seat in glorious colour. Yes, Camelot. In the narrow streets, bold knights flaunt their escutcheons and serving maidens hang out their wimples to dry. I'm playing Arthur. I spent a happy boyhood roaming about in oak forest and poppy wood. Iris wood, too, sometimes. Mostly it was poppy. It was on one of these childhood jaunts that I first discovered my mighty Excalibur.
I, Douglas Smith, play the part of Excalibur, the shining sword. I'm buried up to my pommel in granite.
I was skipping down the woodland path with poppies in my hand when suddenly...
Stay, young master. Young master. Stay, young master, stay.
Well, Hugh Williams, I thought Hugh Paddock was playing Merlin.
Yeah, well, he was, but I wouldn't have come in till page five, you see, so... So we did a swap. I'm doing Merlin, and I've told him he can play Grunfuttock.
But we're not doing Grunfuttock this week.
Shut up, he don't know that. He only reads his own lines.
Stay, young master. See this Douglas Smith buried in the granite? Now is your chance. If you can pull it out, you shall be king.
I grip the thing by its curiously carved hilt.
Oh, I say, do be careful.
And with one mighty heave, I dislocated my shoulder. But I had the sword. Excalibur was mine. course, many years have passed since then. Now I sit at the round table, my gallant knights around me. Sir Gawain, the gentle knight. Sir Insomnia, the sleepless knight.
My liege, by your leave, I crave a boon.
Certainly, there's a plate of them over there, butter boons.
No, sire, I seek an opportunity to show off my daring do. I haven't daring done for weeks now.
Very well, I decree that a grand tourney be held. My knights shall go out into the field, wearing full armor and carrying heavy shields. You shall tilt, and some of you may even fall over.
Hold! 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 I demand that you hold.
I held. Who are you, intrepid knight with the pointed black face?
I ain't got me helmet on, you fool. I am Sir Mincelot. Yes, I am Sir Mincelot, the pure knight.
Oh, of course. Of course, I dubbed you myself.
Yes.
For the... for the foreign language market. What do you want, Mincelot?
I have heard of the exciting deeds done by your bold company, and I wish to take up my position on the round table.
A deadly silence fell. Mainly because the producer had cut the next line. Later that day, I hurried to see my court magician, Merlin.
Eye of newt and toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog. Greetings, sir. Care for a sandwich?
No, thank you, Merlin. Just a minute. Kenneth Williams was playing Merlin just
now. Yes, I know, but the less said about him and his little devices, the better.
Grunt. Anyway, Merlin, I come to you because I need counsel.
I'll try and get you one. When does your case come up?
I need advice. This knight, Sir Mincelot, he fills me with foreboding. I don't know, there's something about the way he holds his lance that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Never fear, for nothing is hidden from Merlin.
What doth this knight, Sir Mincelot, at my court?
Even now he is with your wife, the Lady Guinevere, whom men call Guinevere the Generous.
And I'd give a lot to know how that name got around.
Greetings, bald knight.
Bold knight. Bold. Do you mind?
Greetings, Lady Guinevere. I am Sir Mincelot the Pure. See me in my shining armor. I'm pure. I'm pure. The pleasures of the flesh are not for me. I resist all temptation. I'm pure. Mainly because I can't get out of this rotten armor.
Sir Mincelot, I have heard of your intrepidity. Is it true? Is it true what they say about your great feat? That you went out and rescued a dragon and slaughtered a fair maiden.
Yeah, well, you can't see what you're doing with this visor, dear.
Come, stand by me. Closer. Closer. Look into my eyes. Do you not see beauty there?
Oh, yes, yes. Such beauty. I could gaze on it all day. Two little reflections of me.
Verily, thou art a great bigot. Come the day of the tourney, my champion will demand satisfaction from you.
No, will he now?
Your Majesties, my lords, knights of the round table, damsels of the octagonal stool, squires, serfs, archers, dales, Franciscan friars, black friars, mansion house, channel street, and old station, Quaffin Star. Announcing the first joist. On my left, Sir Mincelot, 7'3" in dripping wet armour. And on my right, the Queen's champion, Circular.
Guinevere and I watch from the royal box. To the south, Sir Mincelot Road. To the north, Circular Road. North Circular Road. Oh, dear. I missed that at rehearsal.
Lucky devil.
Lucky devil. It was an inspiring sight, the knights astride their gaily caparisoned coconut shells. We watched with bated breath. They gathered speed, lances held ready. Faster and faster.
Shouldn't they have been galloping towards each other?
Yes, but don't worry, they're turning back. See, they're fighting.
Thrust and parry. Thrust and parry.
Why do you keep saying thrust and parry?
They're my tailors. I thought you'd be interested.
Ha! Fight back!
I've cleaved your armour. There, your end is in sight.
I yield!
Sir Mincelot, he's won! He's won!
And who would have thought it? We should throw something in his honour. A rotten tomato, or better yet, a feast. What a banquet it was. Oxen roasted whole, wine flowed like water, the board was groaning.
The shareholders won't like us spending all this money.
Nonsense! But stay, where is my Lady Guinevere?
I did see a slim girlish figure flit away into the shadows, sire. And Lady Guinevere was with him.
They will never find us here, Mincelot. Another goblet of mead...
Well, I don't know, Guinevere. We've already had 7 goblets of mead.
Oh, Mincelot, we can't go on meading like this. If Arthur suspects I am lacking in chastity, he will belt me.
Quite. Oh, Guinevere.
Oh, Mincelot.
Oh, Guinevere. Guinevere.
Mincelot, Mincelot.
Guinevere, Guinevere. Guinevere.
Mincelot, Mincelot, Mincelot.
Oh, Guinevere.
Oh, Mincelot.
Mincelot.
Arthur.
Mincelot, Mincelot.
Arthur, Arthur, Arthur.
Well, so much for the introduction. What are you both doing, and on the round table, too? You know how easily it marks?
Fear not, my liege. It's this rotten armour. I couldn't get me visor up.
Your wife has been chased.
I know, I saw you chasing her. You leave me no alternative but to punish you both.
Oh!
Picture the awful scene. A crowded public square in Camelot. Faggots are piled high around 2 solitary stakes in the centre of the square. The torches applied, the wood blazes. Smoke and flames hide the stakes from our view.
Yes, this is your punishment, Guinevere and Mincelot. We're having a barbecue and you haven't been invited.
Then I shall hie me to a nunnery.
And where goest thou, Sir Mincelot?
I'm going to meet Maharishi. Yes, he'll show me the way.
Which way?
The way to get out of this stinking suit and armour.
And now, Miss Betty Marsden and I would like to burst forth. But first... our version of what was hitherto an old favourite. Remember Snook?
Remember Spam?
Your ration book.
12 points for jam.
Ah, yes. I remember it well.
When Hill was Lord and not just Fanny.
La Rue met Road and not old Danny. Oh, yes. I remember it well.
Remember Mind My Bike.
And the Charlie Chester Mob.
We'll never see their like.
Good job. Good job.
It warms my heart, although it's odd.
Their jokes live on, thanks to Ken Dodd. Ah, yes. He remembers them well. How often I've thought of that old-fashioned waltz. We danced to the band of Joe Loss. We jived to some bods who were known as the Squads, and we rumbered to Ed Mundo Ross. That's a good meter. When you were slim
and you had hair,
your waist was trim.
Pre-Medicare.
Yes, I remember it well. We used to flirt the whole night through. You wore a skirt.
And so did you.
Yes, I remember it well. I wore my D-Mob suit.
It was Air Force Blue.
Well, now I'm getting old.
That suit is too. How you would love, and I would soften.
Well, I still love now, but not so often. Yes. I remember it well.
And now for the go-ahead, don't look back, it's right behind you, tingling scene of Radio Balls Pond Road.
Hello, waiter. There's a fly in my soup. Waiter, to get to the other side. That didn't go too well, eh, Terry? Must be good, can't be bad.
I beg your pardon?
Well, it can't be any worse.
Balls Pond Road is wonderful.
Now, this is the point in the show where we invite listeners to phone in with any queries or comments on topics of the moment. Now, the Postmaster General has had a special hook-up, but what he does in his own time is entirely his own affair. There's the phone now. I said, there's the phone now. Well, it seems we're having a little technical difficulty at the moment. Hello?
I have a query regarding a member of your cast. Can Betty Marsden...
Yes?
That's all.
Oh. Hello?
Me and my mates been having an argument. Is C.P. Snow the real mother of David Frost? I say yes, they say no.
Well, it's not an easy question to answer, Mr. What did you say your name was?
Frost, David Frost.
that's my other phone. Hello?
I'm answering your advertisement in posing brief quarterly.
I think you've got the wrong number.
No. I've got the advertisement here. I'll read it. Mature, sexy man about town wishes to meet petite young widow interested in photography, ballroom dancing and physical culture. Object.
Well, I don't think we need to bore the listeners with all that.
Well, I'm gay.
Yes, I'm sure you are, yes. But the position's filled.
Oh.
Goodbye. Extraordinary. And all I wanted was some keys cut, too. Funny, I wonder how she got my number.
We've all got your number.
Hello. It's for you, Betty.
Is it a man?
A man, yes.
Is he just breathing heavily over the phone?
Yes.
Not saying anything. Just that infernal breathing.
Yes.
Oh, that'll be the butcher. Tell him to send half a pound of stewing steak and some liver to the cat.
Did you get that? Yes, and the same to your good lady, too. Well, that's all the calls we've got time for this week, but if you've got anything you want to air... Well, there's a cupboard on the landing. Here now is a man we'd all like to... Well, he'd like to himself, but things being what they are, he's merely going to sing. Rambling Sid Rumpo, whom Dobbyroids preserve.
I,
Hello, me dearios, and hello, dear. Here is a Sussex air about an old man who plays knick-knacks in various places. And it goes after this fashion, brightly, but with great nerve.
This old man, he plays one, plays knick-knacks with a hot cross bun. Knick-knack at a back, give a dog a flute. This old man wordles like a newt.
Well, they do, you know, when they get to a certain age. But what the hurry don't see, the art don't grieve.
This old man, he plays two, he plays knick-knacks up the flue. Knick-knack at a back, give a dog a chop. The old man nudges round the clock.
Picturesque, isn't it?
This old man, he plays three. He plays knick-knacks for a fee. Knick-knack and a back, give a dog a punch. The old man grunges after lunch.
Well, you do tend to after every meal.
This old man, he plays four. He plays knick-knacks till he's sore. Knick-knack and a back, give a dog a kick. The old man bogles with a pick.
I won't weary you with verses 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. Suffice it to say that each verse gets more ethnic. Among other things. But eventually comes verse 10.
This old man, he plays 10. See him trundling up Big Ben. Knick-knack, gander-back, give a dog a bone. If you want any more, you can woggle your own.
Woggle your own.
From time to time, I clear those things out of my wardrobe that I don't really want. For instance, the milkman. Several moths, a chap called Arbuthnot, who appears to be a friend of my wife, and, of course, old clothes, and nobody will give you much for them. So, when a card was pushed through my door which read, Boner Rags, we pay top prices for Omi's left-offs, I called them up, and the following morning they came round. The door's open, troll in.
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sandy.
Hello, Mr. Ornduckley. Oh, lovely. So, little Bardiere, we're gentlemen's misfits.
Yeah. No. What Sam means is we're interested in anything reasonable in gentlemen's clothes.
Yes. No, it's true. Yeah.
We are the actual joint managing directors of Boner. Our Boner Used Clothing Limited branches in Queensway and Mincing Lane.
Our motto is, before you throw it away, show it to us.
We may have an home for it. For instance, that bundle of rags. It may seem a useless load of old tack, but we'll take it off you.
Yeah, but that's the suit I'm wearing.
Oh, if that's what he's hanging on to, I dread to think of what he's throwing away.
Oh, come on, let's have a Vada at his yush.
Clothing, that's translator's note.
Right. Well, I'll just open the wardrobe. Oh, here, look, the wardrobe.
Ah! Oh, what a naff lot.
It's a bit hard, isn't it?
He never wears one of them.
He does.
He don't.
He does. You can tell by the bulge under his cardigan. Oh, make a note, Jewel. One gent's Edwardian foundation.
Oh, kinky.
Look, if you want the correct name, it's a Braceright Midriff Support.
No. Oh, Braceright. It's a bit Isherwood's Berlin, if you ask me. Still, we'll slip you half a crown.
Yes, it's worth it for the scrap metal alone. Yeah. Are we at there, Knight?
What?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those silver metallic high-heeled shoes, the one with the springs on them.
They're shoe trees.
Oh. Oh, they were a bit small around the ankle.
Let's see what else there is. Oh, look, there's one gent's DB dinner jacket with contrasting skirt.
That's a kilt.
Oh, anything else, Joe?
One moth-eaten Shetland tweed. Oh! Look! He's got a baggy old Harris.
I'll say yes. Right, five bob the lot. Now, let's have a rummage through his drawers.
Yeah. Don't move!
Why?
Don't move!
What?
There's something red and airy lurking behind his socks.
Oh, it's nasty. Yeah. Is it with the trouser breast?
No, careful. That's, look, promise you won't tell anybody. Yeah. That's my wig. I wear it for special occasions.
Like Halloween. Put it down, Jewel. One naff Irish.
Oh. No, we don't want that, do we?
Yes, we do. A coming handy as a tea cozy. Or we can use it for wiping down the horse.
Oh.
When he sweats. Oh, what are these?
Well, it's my old rugby kit. I'll throw that in.
Don't mention rugby to Jewel. Mention that to him. He's sworn never to touch a pair of rugby shorts again. No, Dick, listen, Duffy. After what happened...
He swore he'd never tell.
Go on, tell Mr. Orne about it. Go on,
No.
Go on, let yourself go. Purge yourself. Purge.
Well, when I was younger, I had a friend who was a wasp.
You mean that jock?
Yes, jock. Oh, great big butcho me he was. Yes. Bigger than that. Huge bulging lallies and his ears. Eat like a great Greek god.
Greek god.
Oh, yes. We went to hairdressing school together. And he rode up. He used to play rugger of a Saturday, and he asked me to make up the number one week. Well, everything went well till halfway through the match.
What happened?
Well, I completely misunderstood the meaning of a forward pass.
Shame. No, but don't worry, Jewel. It's all under the pont now. That's your actual French. You feel better now that you've got that off your chest. You feel better, don't you, Jewel?
Thank you for making me say it.
Yes, you're purged.
I have. I feel I have purged myself. Yes. All right, then, we'll take the rugger kit and the suit.
We'll take your entire wardrobe. 30 bob the lot. 30 bob.
Only 30 shillings.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you throw in that suit you're wearing, we'll make it 25 bob.
Done. I know a bargain when I see one. And where will you dispose of the stuff to distressed gentlefolk?
Oh, no, no. There's no point in adding to their distress. We've got a different outlet, Mr. Horn.
Well, I'd like to know my cast-offs will go where they're appreciated.
Oh, they will, Mr. Horn. You see, we've got a contract to supply the clowns at Bertram Mill Circus.
Goodbye. And I must say it makes me feel nostalgic every Christmas to see Bobo the Clown slipping on a banana skin and falling on my Harris. Well, that's it, except for this week's motto, which is, love is where you find it if you know where to look. Cheerio, see you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you heard the Max Harris Group. The script was written by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook, and Donald Webster. And the show is produced by John Simmons.